IMX studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are joined, as always, by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including Cheesehead TV's own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we will reflect on the miracle in Motown and look forward to the showdown with the Cowboys on Sunday. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Richard Rodgers.
Game of his career.
David, back 10 yards,
Playing like a Pro Bowler.
Dom Capers.
Keeping the team in the game.
And we got the bad. We got Josh Sitton.
No matter what Bob McGinn tells you.
Josh, I don't know his name, Walker.
One really bad play.
Jeff Janis.
Not running through routes, not doing great in the return game, just not great.
And we got the ugly. We got Tom Clements.
Simply put, not putting players in a position to succeed. How are we doing, Corey?
We're good. You know, the second time we do it is always better.
Always better. We've That's why we have lesson. To do a rehearsal.
We've actually learned this lesson, like, for 153 episodes.
And we'd think we would have learned after 153 episodes
well,
that
funny.
We have to do a rehearsal.
Okay, just to be clear, the audio was working for a hot minute, and then I think I actually pushed a button that made it not work.
Corey hit mute and was like, screw all that.
Oh!
How are you doing, Banky?
You know, there's some really funny stuff in the chat. There's some really
always,
funny stuff.
Always.
In the
chat. We got a bunch of comedians.
A let bunch me of ask, comedians.
But let me ask you this.
You can see the chat, too, which is
I
a little
can.
Bit scary.
Yes, I can.
And, you know, people, I hope you're watching on the app because I haven't checked the downloads on Android, but if I'm not happy about it, I'm pulling Android. So, you know.
Spread the word.
Spread
Soon,
the word.
Quickly.
Get the downloads. I'm going to get my money back from the developers if people don't
all
download.
Going back. All going backwards. Let me ask you this. What did you do? Because this is all anybody really wants to know. Because, you know, we can break down the game, and we will. We can break down the upcoming game with the Cowboys, and we will.
Yep.
What I think all anybody wants to know is, what did you do when you saw the completed pass to Richard Rodgers in the end zone?
I wrote, are you fucking kidding me, on Twitter.
That's a reaction. That's good.
That was only the third time I've used the F-bomb on Twitter.
Yeah, well, it definitely warranted it. I couldn't stop laughing. I tweeted out a Vine of me
laughing. Yeah, I saw that.
Because I couldn't stop laughing. It was just hilarious. I woke up my wife because I was laughing so hard. It was just funny. It was so funny to me. Like, especially after, like, how crappily they played in the first half. And then to have it end with a victory was just funny to me. Like, and then the whole just... everything about it, and the penalty beforehand, and everything was just hilarious to me.
I didn't think it was hilarious. I thought it was cool. I liked it.
Well, okay.
I mean, here's the thing: you got to have faith, people. And if you have faith, and if you have
so
a Wisco disco,
it's not about good play calling on third and short. It's not about wide receivers getting open. It's not about sacking the quarterback, creating turnovers. It's about having faith.
It is.
All right.
It's like the brilliant George Michael said.
Yes, indeed, he did.
Maybe people like should it. Just play that song before
Maybe.
Every Packer
every
game.
Every Packer game
from now on.
That's
going to
be the anthem for Packer fans in December. Is you got to have faith. Got it. All right, I'm all in.
I know
that.
You like that song, so
I do. I do a lot.
Speaking of Wisco Disco,
hey, talk about faith. You know. Packers lose, the Packers win. It doesn't matter.
Still
the Wisco Disco's cold.
On Packer Transplants.
I'm telling you what, man, you know, after a long day at the old studio there, come over here, I gotta relax, pop a Wisco Disco. Everything's right with the world.
People should know you're on your third beer already, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I want everybody out there to kind of know that. So,
well, I had a beer at work too, so
oh,
I'm
there
on my
you
fourth
go.
Beer, actually.
I'm on my first, so I'm gonna make the most sense. For a minute.
No, I make more sense the more beer I have. I mean, I think that's been proven. That's just science.
So,
right there.
People,
yeah,
you need to be tweeting. I'm
tweet
watching
it, people.
Packer
Do
Transplants
it.
On at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer, and you can win a amazing Packer Legends poster by the one and only Brent Schoonover, cartoon illustrator, He does a Packer Legends every week, and you need to tweet this. You can only win the poster if you're watching this live. There's a lot of you watching this live. For the 8 of you that have not won so far, this is for you. This poster's for you. You can win it.
This is all yours.
Tweet it.
Just tweet it out, people. There it is on your screen. You know you want to do it. And you'll see lots of shots of me tonight, unfortunately, because we're rolling with only two cameras, and we usually have three.
Well, here at LiveX,
going gorilla.
Here at LiveX, when we have jobs, we rob.
When we can make money.
When we can make money on cameras, we rob the studio.
We rob Peter to pay Paul. That's how we do it.
You know, you got to get paid, though.
No, I hear it. Dude, I totally get it.
It's a fun show.
I'm just apologizing to people in advance for so much me on camera.
Well, here's the thing, though. You know, people are like, I can hear the audio, but now I can see Corey. So, you know what?
There you go.
You don't have that camera, so you don't get that luxury. And there you have it. I mean, people are here to see you anyway. We all know
how this
works.
Are not.
That's how this works.
True.
That's how this show works.
They're here for us, sir. They're here for, you know, the takes, the ideas,
the hot takes,
the rants, the back and forth. Although I will say, there are a couple people today who have noticed they were asking,
why don't we have a guest?
Why don't we no more guests? And
that's my fault.
Well, it is. I mean, it was your kind of movement to say, you know, I think, you know, we're doing better without guests. And I got to agree. And it seems the Twitterverse agrees with you. I was kind of surprised. I was expecting people to kind of push back on that. But people seem to like no guest format.
I like having Packer players. They tend to not come on the show.
No, exactly. Which is a problem. But,
and I like beat writers. I just feel like you can get all that. Like when we first started, you couldn't really
hear
Rob Domofsky's
voice. We were the only people
Domofsky's
doing
voice.
That. Exactly.
Now you can get on that on Packers Talk. You can get on that at other places. And, you know, we're going
to
give
you
an hour.
ESPN Wisconsin. You've got Jason there.
There's
you go
tons
ESPN,
of people.
You got Rob there. You go.
That's great.
Tom Silverstein has his own video series now with Leroy Butler. It's like everyone's got an outlet. It's like you said, when we first started, this is my favorite. ESPN Wisconsin pitched us to have Jason Wilde on our show. I think we still have the email, which is so funny. But that's
and now he just completely ignores us.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Well, now he's way too big time. But that's just because. So, you know, Corey, I think I'm glad that people agree with you that it's just us talking Packers.
Now we've
got
some
beer.
Exciting guests lined up for December.
We have a couple. We have a few maybe in our back pocket.
And when we have an exciting guest, I think that's
we'll
cool.
blow it out, and that'll be great.
It's great, but you know, clearly, no one from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is ever going to come on our show again. Like, let's just put that out there.
We know
okay?
that.
Not as long as Michael Cohen still has a job, anyway.
I mean, well, we'll see. I don't know.
I don't see it happening.
Michael's welcome to come on the show anytime.
If he blocked you on Twitter, I don't think he's going to come
that's
on the show.
That's probably a good point. Good point.
Hate to burst your bubble, but.
That's a fine point. It's a fine point.
So let's get to the Packers news.
Are we ready to some Packers news?
Yeah, I'm ready for
all
it.
All right, here we go. All right, let's start with a bit of a downer in that. It's a good thing, and it's a bad thing. It's a good thing because everybody practiced except one player. The one player is your starting center. So, Corey Linsley, your only guy not practicing, it's not great. I understand that lots of people think that Treader has outplayed him. I think he has in the run game. I don't think he's done as well in pass protection, though he's been fine. You just like all your guys healthy. That's all I'm saying. They were, as Aaron Rodgers said at his locker today, they were one snap away from Brett Goode having to come in and be emergency center. So nobody wants to see that. So hopefully Linsley can get out there tomorrow on their one padded practice of the week and put some reps in.
Here's the thing. You told me something where I was like, okay, who's Josh Walker? And
who's Josh Walker? Who's Josh Walker? You literally said that right before when we were writing.
The graphics, and I was like,
"Who's Josh Walker?
This Josh Walker, you speak of." So here's what scares me.
God, I love it.
So is it true that Josh Walker was at left tackle for a hot second?
And for one play, yeah.
And he's never practiced at left tackle.
Yeah, David Bakhtiari on his show for the Clubhouse Live on Monday night said Josh Walker has taken zero reps at left tackle.
Goodness,
and he was in at Detroit. On a third and long at left tackle. And he promptly got destroyed. Well, it's like, to be fair, they ran a stunt right at him. And they gamed right at him. For good reason. You would. Knowing you've got a backup left tackle. Now, if you're the Packers and you've got a one-armed Richard Sherman, you don't throw at him. But that's a discussion for another day. They saw that they had the advantage there and they went right after him. And Walker, you know, I put him in the bad. And it's like, yes, it's a little harsh. But it was, you know, a very... It's just a bad play. He carries the guy that they knew he would because they're running a stunt at him, so he carries the first guy he's blocking, and that allows the easy penetration, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, that's who Josh Walker is. And actually, here's the funny thing, Corey. He's played this year. He played against the Rams, and he played well against a really good defensive line in St. Louis. So he came in for TJ Lang when Lang got hurt and played extremely well other than the very first snap of that game. He played extremely well. So, you know, I hope, like, Packer fans don't kind of glom on to that one snap in Detroit because he's a very promising prospect at guard. He is not a tackle in any way, shape, or form, as David said. Yeah, it was a little scary. The whole escapade with the offensive line was scary. When I saw prior to the kickoff that, you know, both Lang and Bulaga were out, I thought they were toast. And early on, it certainly seemed that way. Moving on, the more positive news, I guess. We got Sitton, Lang, and Bulaga all listed as limited participants in today's practice. So, okay, they were practicing. They were practicing last week, and then they sat out. So Lang and Bulaga did. So hopefully, you know, maybe tomorrow they get a little working in the pads. Sitton, interestingly enough, wasn't seen. Rob Domofsky tweeted out that he didn't even see Sitton there, but he was listed as a limited participant. So maybe he came in late after the media was ushered out.
Yeah.
Who knows? But, yeah, offensive line. I'm telling you, that defensive front for the Cowboys is no joke. They were very active against the Redskins on Monday night, and they gave Washington a lot of problems. And Aaron Rodgers talked about it in his locker today about all the looks. And it's funny because Marinelli is not a big blitzing guy. He's never been a really kind of exotic slash bring a lot of guys. But they were bringing a lot of pressures, a lot of different pressures against Washington on Monday night. So it's a lot of stuff they're going to have to work through. And if they're rolling in a lot of different offensive linemen in practice, you know, who knows? So we'll see. We'll see.
You're picking the Cowboys, right?
We'll see. We'll get to the predictions section.
You're picking
at the
Cowboys,
end there.
Right?
We'll see.
Seriously.
We'll see.
You need to pick the Cowboys.
You got to wait till the end of the show to find
I'm
out.
I'm just saying.
I understand what you're saying.
Hope
and I've got an answer for you.
Okay.
At the end of the show.
Okay. I just want to know because there is no way on God's green earth that the Cowboys beat us, FYI.
Cool. We moving on now?
Yeah, I've moved the graphic forward.
Okay, good. The good news is your boy, Randall, the defensive back rookie of the month last month, and David Bakhtiari. David Bakhtiari listed as full participants, despite Bakhtiari leaving with a knee injury in the game and Randall missed that game. Both full participants in Wednesday's practice, so that's promising. So
that's good.
I like that. And then we get to the real kind of nugget today. Ty Montgomery practiced for the second day in a row. First time that's happened since November, early November, or I'm sorry, mid-November probably. He came back. He tried to come back on November 19th, aggravated the ankle injury, has been gone since. Now, he's practiced 2 days in a row, and the hope is that tomorrow he'll be there for the padded practice. That'll be 3 days in a row, and if that happens, you know, he has said, you know, it's entirely up to the coaches. It all depends on what they want to do with him, et cetera, et cetera. But the hope, the dream, is that we see Ty Montgomery out there against the Cowboys, which would be great. Which would be a welcome development for this wide receiving core. And then, of course, there's the brouhaha that everybody was talking about when Rob dropped the nugget that Eddie Lacy, who saw very minimal usage Thursday night against the Lions, was indeed demoted due to a rules violation after he was late for hotel curfew, along with Harris, who was cut. Summarily cut after that transgression. We all know the story. Crockett was then signed 3 hours before the game up from the practice squad. I don't really have a whole lot to say about this because, you know, Lacy at his locker today addressed the fact that he and Mike had a talk. They've put it behind him. I know the word is out there that Lacy was down in the lobby. He just, quote-unquote, lost track of time. Can only take the man at his word, and I guess there are other people there to corroborate it. But, you know, they're moving on, so
I don't get it. Like, they're men. Like, really? There's got to be – you take them out of the game because they were 5 minutes late to curfew?
Well, we don't know if it was 5 minutes.
I get that there's principles, But there's a game on the line. There's millions of dollars on the line.
There's principals, and there's a rookie undrafted free agent in Harris who gets cut, and Lacey was like, okay, you're just not going to get a lot of snaps.
I don't know. I'm sorry. It just feels like a high school mentality. Like, really? We're still disciplining players because they're grown men who missed a curfew? Really?
Well, there are rules, Corey.
Yeah.
And their coach sets the rules.
Yeah, and we also need to win games.
Yeah, and you do that by following what your coach says.
You win that by breaking the rules.
Okay. Would Mary Irwin agree with that sentiment?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
There's certain times.
I don't think
so. You don't know. Lacey might have, he might have a very good reason for missing. So do you just.
He said he was down in the hotel lobby.
Yeah, but maybe he was on the
phone. That's a very good reason.
Maybe he was on the phone. Maybe he could, you know. I don't know what their
stupid
rules.
There are phones in hotel rooms. In every hotel room in America.
Yeah, just fine him some money, but let him play, for God's sake. Why can't you have other punishment besides, oh, they can't play
because
they missed?
Because you know why? Because it's the only punishment that sticks. It's the only punishment that means anything.
You know what?
You can fine a guy $1 million. He doesn't care.
You
take away a guy's playing time, it gets his attention.
You know what?
What?
When you take the guy out of the team, you punish the team.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so you punish the fans, and you punish the city of Green Bay that's trying to make money, right? You punish the economy.
I love this. You're so stressed.
This is where this goes, though.
No,
it's a rolling ball.
Wait, did they win? Did they win?
Yes.
Okay, then nobody's punished.
Yeah.
And we got to see one of the most exciting finishes ever in the history of the Packers.
I don't know if it was. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
I don't know about that.
Oh, my God.
No.
It's in the top 10.
Okay.
Come on.
I don't know if it's number one, and I already have a game that might
be
number one.
But it's in top 10.
I already have a game that might be number one.
Great. It's top 10, though.
Matt Hasselbeck, we want the ball. We're going to score.
Sure, fine.
Al Harris intercepts the ball.
I didn't say it was the most.
And pick six
said it was
in the
one
end zone.
Of.
Game over. Overtime
top
one.
10. Easily. And if you say it's not top 10, you're freaking high. All right.
I didn't say it wasn't top 10.
All right.
But you said.
You got all defensive. You got all argumentative.
Because you said it could have been the greatest.
No, I said one of the greatest. Roll back the tape. You got the DVR function on live stream. Roll it back, son.
I guarantee you.
One of.
I guarantee you said could have been the greatest.
Let's go to the live blog.
No, let's not say we did. Somebody will.
Nagler's going to be right.
They're going to discover that Nagler was wrong. Are you really going to look at it? It's going to take you so long.
I'm waiting. Oh, the Herdsman says it was a top five finish. I'm just saying top 10, but, you know.
By the time you discover it, all of the 10 people that are watching, they're going to slowly go down because they're going to be like, I can't watch this.
All right, so that was Lacey.
Just hold on, okay?
Oh, so now we want to belabor the point. I was ready to move on. But now you got to belabor it.
It just seems so petty that everybody, you know, it's like, I got to pay for Eddie Lacy's mistake. You got to pay for Eddie Lacy's mistake. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Teammates, football teammates, pay for each other's mistakes all the time. And then they rally and come through on the other side with a victory or a defeat. And in this sense, they came through with a victory. People make mistakes on every play, yet teamwork gets them over, makes them better, helps them overcome. And that is what they did in Lacey's absence.
They did.
So there you go.
I still think it's petty, but they did.
I love it when you guys bitch slap each other. Yeah, well.
Well, people are asking who would win in a street fight. I would have to give it to you, I think. It just depends.
I doubt it. It really depends. I think
there's
it would
so many variables.
Yeah, there are. I think
like, are there lightsabers involved? Yeah,
I think a lot of it depends on what it's about, what the fight's about. It would really depend on who's more passionate about the subject or about like what caused the fight. Like just now, you would have won that because like you were the one who was so pissed. But like if it was like you were besmirching, like you know. The
Depeche
effect.
Mode.
Depeche Mode, exactly. Then I'd, you know, I'd break a bottle over your head. So there you go. It'd be all good. You know, there you go. So we ready to move on now?
I've already moved the graphic forward.
Okay, well, you know.
What? I've moved the graphic
forward. The Packers
forward.
Signed two to their practice squad, who we don't usually talk about practice squad players on this show.
Why
Corey
are we doing
hates it. Simply for this reason. Ross Schuurman. Who's the running back that they signed?
Should we show the vine?
Yes, that's the whole reason I wanted to show this.
Oh, my
This
Lord.
Is his pro day. This is literally his pro... No, other vine. know, there you go.
I know, I got to get the loop on.
This is literally his pro day. Now tell me this guy isn't a Packer. He's in the snow. He ran his pro day in the snow. And by the way, he runs a sub 4.440. 4.440. Sub in the snow. Actually, I think it was just starting to snow when he ran his 40. But look at this guy making cuts in the snow, breaking down on the top of his route in the snow. I love it. Of course this guy's a Packer. Anyway, that's the only reason I wanted to bring up the practice squad guys, because that's just a great
show. Who's the other guy?
It's a Jamel Johnson, a wide receiver.
So two wide receivers?
No, well, see, that's the thing. He's running routes here, but Schuerman is a running back. Although,
gotcha.
The thinking is that he could possibly be a Julian Edelman type, but that's down the road. They're not going to throw him out there next week or anything, obviously, but I'll watch him get thrown out there next week. I mean, they are kind of desperate at wide receiver. So
I'm surprised they didn't sign any linemen to the practice squad.
Well, you
kind of feel like that's what they're lacking right now.
Yeah,
right?
Well, with all the injuries.
You know, besides Josh Walker.
Yeah, well, your boy, Josh Walker.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to get his jersey.
You're a big fan.
You think they even have Josh Walker jerseys in the
Packer
Pro Shop?
Hell no.
You have to do a custom.
You'd have to customize an old Javon Walker jersey. That's what you...
Well, I have one of those.
I know you do. That's my point. There you go. Just turn it into a
Just take
Josh
the letters
Walker.
Off the... Just put like a Sharpie.
I love it.
What?
All right, so are we ready to go to the offense?
Yeah.
All right. Let's just get this out here. You know, Tom Clemens.
Oh, dear.
Tom Clemens. Tom Clemens was handed the keys to a Ferrari. Then in the preseason, it got dinged. It got a pretty serious fender bender. But it wasn't ruined. It was still a Ferrari. He's driving it like a Yugo.
Like a Yugo. I was going to say he had a Land Rover.
Sick and tired always follow sick. I am so sick and tired of this cat on third and short. I mean,
it is ridiculous.
The coaches keep talking about execution, but, you know, give them a chance. Just a chance. That's all I ask. I seriously feel like the entire offensive coaching staff has to have their entire, like, all of their brains are, like, sucked out of them by aliens. Only on third and short. And then replaced back in when they get a first down or when they have to punt. Because, good God, their third down selections are freaking terrible.
It is pretty bad. Adam Dennehy says, driving like a Geo Metro.
Exactly.
That's worse than a Yugo, I think.
Seriously.
I think it is. Michael Klink, a famous Cheesehead TV super fan. It's not Tom. It's Tom, Edgar, and Mike.
I know, it is.
They all come together and create the game plan.
Well, which is why I just said, if you were listening.
I wasn't listening.
Well, of course you weren't. The collective group has their brains taken out by aliens.
Oh, that's my point. That's what happened?
Yeah. That's the only explanation.
Here's what I don't understand.
It's third and one.
Yeah.
Third and one. And you have freaking Starks running 5 yards wide towards Richard Rodgers, who you know can't block.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And you have Davante Adams trying to crack down, who you know can't block, when you've got Lindsley and Sitton and John Kuhn.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And Eddie Lacy or even James Starks. Just run the fucking power.
Yeah, I just don't. It's like they're so tricky. And it's like, you know what it feels like? It feels like a team that thinks that they're 11-0 trying to be tricky before they get into the playoffs. And that's actually what we said in the beginning of this year when they started doing it. Yeah. It was like, oh, maybe they're trying to disguise looks for later. But it doesn't make any sense. It's like, just run the Packer sweep. Like, can I see a Packer sweep? I actually feel like, okay, if Packers shareholders had any like power, right?
That'd be scary.
If actually having this is what I would put. So you know you have the Bill of Rights, right, for the Constitution. So let's say you've got the Packers Constitution, right? The number one thing on the Bill of Rights for the Packers, the First Amendment,
right?
The team must at all times be able to run the Lombardi Packer sweep.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. I'm all in. We've got the athleticism at guard and center to do it if we want.
Do what Denver did. Run the weak side one.
Yeah, I'm all
Mix
in.
Mix it up.
I'm all in. But no. No. We've got to run stretch zone on third and one out of the shotgun.
Leotis Harris says Nagler seems to be calling for the fullback dive.
No. Let's not go crazy. Let's not go insane.
We know you love that play. Although,
you know what?
To the fullback.
I'll take the fullback dive.
To the fullback.
Over the craptasticness that we've seen the last month on third and short.
What is wrong with having some coon in an I form and drilling it in the
Nothing.
Middle? What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Or even offset.
Why don't we
I don't
do
care.
That? Why don't we
I
do
don't
that?
No, Corey.
Like, have we just completely given up on that?
What I love is that then they come out on third and short again later in the game and they go. They go stretch zone to you know, the strong side, and the weak side end just comes crashing down the line. No one's touched him, and he makes the tackle. And Rodgers does his thing where he turns around and looks at the sideline and throws up his hands, and he looks like a spoiled brat. But I can't get on him for it because I'm doing the same thing in my living room. It's like, can we just, like, stop trying to outthink ourselves? That's what kills me, you know? Just kills. It's the same thing in the passing game. Just killing me.
Dan Showman, fullback dive would only work from shotgun. Let's be serious.
Well, I mean, it's good. Fair point. Very fair point. All right. Let's talk about good things. Let's talk about positive things. Let's talk about Richard freaking Rodgers. All right. Now let's eat some crow here.
Yeah, I'll eat some
Both
crow.
Both you and me.
Yeah, no, me especially.
You especially, but I was down on him as well.
I had no faith in Richard Rodgers whatsoever.
Pretty much after the San Diego game, I was content to maybe he'll catch some passes in the red zone. Maybe he'll catch a touchdown or two. He's not going to offer you much between the 20s. Fine. I was ready to resign him to that fate.
Yep.
And holy cow, he turned on the juice. Whatever, something happened. Now, maybe it's a product of playing on the turf, but for whatever reason, Rodgers said it today, he was playing fast. You saw he was a different dude.
Yeah.
He looked at Lambeau. He looks like he's laboring, and he looks like his routes aren't crisp, and he's slow out of his stance. And for whatever reason, in Detroit on Thursday night, he looked like a different dude. And he was great after the catch. He was great catching the football. I mean, in this freaking offense this year,
that's
a big thing.
Yeah.
Just a great performance. Just a great performance. Well before the Hail Mary.
Yeah. The Hail Mary was like the icing on the cake.
Absolutely. But just a fantastic performance. Great job. Great technique. That was the thing. Like, his ability, once he got out of his stance, and a lot of times he'd have a safety on him, and he did a great job of, like, swimming to avoid contact, because that's what a lot of these receivers have been struggling with in this offense, is getting off the jam. And he wasn't being jammed necessarily, but, you know, contact within that 5-yard area, they've had real trouble with that. And he was doing a great job of avoiding that, but staying in the flow of the route. It's one thing if you can get off press or avoid contact, but if you, like, have to disrupt the flow of your route, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good. Like, maybe you'll be open eventually, but by then, the timing's off. But he did a great job of staying within the flow so that Rodgers' footwork is still intact. He can look to him and find him and release it in rhythm. And that's what this offense has been desperately missing.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, he needs to, because this offense needs him and Ty Montgomery desperately.
Yes, I agree. I think Ty will
because
be
Because Tom
addition.
Clemens will not do dump-offs to anybody else. And he won't run flats with anybody else. And he won't do these quick things with anybody else. He'll do a couple slants, then he'll forget that he can do a slant.
Right.
And then, finally, hopefully, if you can get Ty Montgomery and Richard Rodgers, maybe James Jones and Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb can get open.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Michael, I see your little post here. Rodgers is good on turf, sucky on grass. Well, see, I would have agreed with that, like, a couple weeks ago. But then you go back and you watch. I was watching last year's tape, and there's plenty of games on grass where he's fine. I mean, look at the New England game last year. He played very well in that game. And I'm not just talking about the touchdown catch, but just overall, he played a very good game. That's on grass. So I don't think it's a product of he's bad on grass. I just think, you know, he's just struggled and he's labored and just not looked sharp up to this point this year until that Detroit game. And yes, I do think the turf definitely helped him. It definitely helps any player get in and out of breaks, make precise cuts, etc. But he looked very good. He looked very good. He looked very precise. And most of it was technique-based, and it wasn't anything to do with his footing. So I'm hoping this carries forward. But now, come Sunday, who knows? Maybe we will see a slow, plodding player again. I mean, it's very possible. But we'll see. I'm just saying, there's plenty of performances last year where you can look games on grass, and he's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's Rob Gronkowski, but he's fine. So we'll see. We'll see. And then finally, back to the running back position. We've got Crockett offering a nice spark. We all read, I'm sure, the story about how he literally signed a contract with the team 3 hours before the game and walked on and got a couple handful of snaps and definitely showed kind of a burst, some juice that has been lacking maybe a little bit. Definitely a quicker back, quick twitch athlete. But, you know, they're going to need Eddie Lacy.
I mean, here's the thing.
They're going to need Eddie
I'm
Lacy.
I'm about to be a broken record. But this team
I love it.
Is going to live or die by Eddie Lacy. It has been very evident. James Starks is really good. And when Tom Clements decides to use him the right way,
right.
He is a weapon. There is no doubt about it. He has gone on a level above where he's been his whole career,
right? I agree with that.
But without Eddie Lacy, especially because Richard Rodgers isn't that tight end you can just go to like a Rob Gronkowski.
No, of
and
course not.
Because we don't have a number one, it makes Eddie Lacy even more important. It makes using James Starks on screens even more important.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, it's why the curfew thing, whatever, it's all BS. Like, you don't. Okay, here's the thing.
Oh, God.
If Aaron Rodgers. No. I want to ask you a question.
All right.
Okay, because. Yeah. I know the answer.
The answer's already, you know the answer to this. Just your use of Aaron Rodgers, I know
if
the answer.
If Aaron Rodgers was late to curfew, are they starting
Scott Tolzien
in the first quarter?
Of course not.
No.
Of course not.
Okay? Which leads me to that's a double standard.
Okay, but.
And I don't like it.
No kidding. That's why Harris was cut and Lacy wasn't. But let me ask you this. How many MVPs has Eddie Lacy won? How many Super Bowl rings does Eddie Lacy have?
So you're saying you can miss curfew if you have a Super Bowl ring?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying.
So what about James Starks has a Super Bowl ring?
You
want
to go down the roster?
James Starks has a Super Bowl ring. Can James Stark miss curfew?
Apparently, because you know what? That's where I wanted to go with this, so thanks for bringing it back. Apparently, James Starks is allowed to fumble multiple times, which he did in Detroit, and have no repercussions, while earlier this year, Eddie Lacy fumbled, and we don't see him for drive after drive after drive. Oh, okay, now we'll put him back in. Like, why is Eddie Lacy punished for fumbling, but James Starks isn't? Other than the fact that, like, well, okay, well, we've got to prove our point with Eddie, so we can't bring him in, so
yeah, I don't
James,
get it.
You just keep fumbling. Like, yeah, no, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you.
I don't get it.
I don't know, dude. That's the double standard of the league.
It just seems petty.
I would totally agree.
They're grown men making millions of dollars. Here's the thing.
If Eddie Lacy had gotten to this point, had gotten to week 13 and had looked like the Eddie Lacy we all expected to see this year throughout the year, like not just like, okay, he had a couple good games leading up to Thursday night in Detroit. If he had been Eddie of old the entire year, I think there's no question
that
he would have played
more on
Thursday night. Yeah,
but here's the thing. He has been playing lights out. Feed him the ball. When are the Packers going to wake up and go, wow, we've got a top 10 running back we can give the ball all the time and just feed him and give him the ball. So what if he fumbles? So what? It's like Brett Favre. So what if he has a couple interceptions? As long as he's got four touchdowns, who cares?
Wow, I'm going to remind you of that. I'm going to remind you of that. I'm going to clip that. I'm gonna make a Vine of it. Well, I'm going to play it on Twitter every time there's a... Anytime.
You have to have four touchdowns to have two fumbles.
That's the equation.
Yes.
That's the Corey algebra.
You have to
there.
Have two touchdowns to have one fumble. Okay?
I love it.
You have to. Okay. You can't just be like, oh, Eddie Lacy fumbled, Corey.
All right.
Because okay, I know how you're going to play this.
I'm all in, dude. You got to live by your words, dude. I'm all in.
I don't think he will. I don't think he's really a fumbler.
But I think they will turn to him more now that like it's December, although it's not even supposed to be that cold on Sunday. I hate this. It's like warm here in New York. I hate it.
There's something we missed on the offense that I want to talk about.
What's that?
I think that this is the most emotional we have ever seen one QB1 Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, you mean after the Hail Mary?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt. No question.
There is something that I feel has been released.
Unleashed, if you will.
Yeah, it's almost a release of like tension.
Right.
Emotion.
Right.
I mean, you know, there's the beautiful picture that the Green Bay Press Gazette was able to get.
Yes.
And it's like, it's raw emotion that you do not see. I mean, even when I was looking back at the pictures that USA Today got from his interview, like, this is a guy that holds everything close to the vest, right? He's snarky, he's funny, he's hilarious, he's humorous, he can act, but he's always like, he's cool, right?
Right.
He's one of these guys that has been taught at an early age, and it's part of his personality too, where it's like, no matter what happens, be cool all the time.
You're cool.
And this one time, we get to see, like,
I'm down with this.
We see this human being that just
uncorked
pure
it.
Passion, uncorked for a long enough time before he put it back in.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I just feel like maybe that is the catalyst this offense needs, where they can see him.
Right.
You know, it's like Favre. Like, everybody wanted to play for Favre. So maybe this is that moment with the offense where they're
funny because,
holy crap. Like, not only is he MVP, greatest quarterback of all that BS aside.
Right.
It's a human being who, like, this is real. This is really...
And this is how much it means to him. This is like, it's not just a robot out there throwing lasers, whatever.
And, you know, they
it's
see somebody. The real Aaron Rodgers.
Of
we don't get to
we
see
don't
the air.
See
we don't
exactly.
see it. So
exactly.
I, this could all
they
be...
know him better than anybody. They know him way better than we do. Obviously. But I'm totally down on that. I dig that. As you were saying that, the only thing I'm thinking about is, like, Favre after touchdowns, like, tackling guys in the end zone, like, and how that, like, galvanizes teammates, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm also thinking, you know, this is on the negative side, there's a danger in that. There's a danger in, like, you're feeding off that emotion. You think about the first couple games in 99 when Favre had those fantastic finishes against Minnesota, against Tampa Bay, and all the emotion. You remember him crying after that game against the Raiders the opening week. Or was it against Minnesota in week one? And it was just pure, raw emotion. And you were like, oh, my God, that's my quarterback. I love him. Like, great. And the teammates and the whole thing, like, you got Favre'd. I think it might have been Gruden who said it, but somebody said, we got Favre'd, you know? And it was this whole emotional kind of roller coaster, and it was great. And we were riding it, and then they ended up 8-8, you know? And it's... Emotionally gets you so far in this game.
No. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, because here's the thing, right? The thing about Favre is he was always this emotional dude.
Yes.
Always.
Always.
Right? He's a party hard, live hard, die hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was that dude, right?
Yep, absolutely.
You know.
Rodgers is buttoned up.
Rodgers is not that guy.
No,
so it was just interesting to see him like that. And I just wonder, what is that going to do to this team? It's got to do something, right?
Right?
Not just the Hail Mary, but, like, coming back. Like, there's something about when you are down and you don't have a prayer and everybody has forgotten about you.
Yeah.
And you come back and, like, you win in that fashion.
Yep. I hear you.
I just feel like, and you know, I always
It could be a galvanizing
moment. It could
be.
But if anything, I think that is why we are going to trounce the Cowboys.
Well, here was my thing.
I
said this on Twitter
so.
Yesterday, and I got some pushback on it, but mostly I think people were on board. This is the turn. This is it. This is the turning point. Now, it could very well be that they go on, win the division, and lose their first playoff game. That could happen. Wouldn't surprise me. It also wouldn't surprise me if they won out, seriously won every game from here on out, right through the Super Bowl, and they hoisted the Lombardi at the end of the year. Wouldn't surprise me.
No.
It also wouldn't surprise me if they lost every game. All four, the next four games.
I would
be
surprised if they lost.
If they lost
game. For who
all
we're
their
playing.
Games. Wouldn't surprise me in the least.
We're playing nobodies except for Arizona.
Have you been watching the last month?
The Cowboys
month
are
and a half?
Terrible.
I just don't understand like who you've been watching.
The Cowboys are terrible.
Their defense is good.
Okay. They have no offense.
So neither do we.
We have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Top five defense.
You're missing the point.
No, the point. No,
the
that's
Packers
exactly
have
the point.
Played really poorly over the course of like a month and a half.
Yeah.
You don't just magically turn it on.
We have.
They've had stretches of okay play.
There have been times
right.
in the past, right?
Yes.
With Favre and
yes.
with Rodgers.
Yes.
Where we have been the hot team in December.
Yeah.
And it's happened more than it hasn't happened.
I agree with
okay?
that. Mike,
at the
Mike's
end of the day,
teams in December have done very
at
well.
At the end of the day, we have won Aaron Rodgers right. as our quarterback.
Yeah, that's
okay?
true.
Tom Clements aside, okay? Here's the thing. The Cowboys have nothing. Like, they have nothing right now. Yeah, they have a good defense. You really think they're going to take over our offense? I do not.
No, I don't think they're going to take over, but there's not much to take over.
What do you mean? Eddie Lacy gets going, it's over.
If Eddie Lacy gets the ball, if our coaches don't totally outthink themselves. That's my point. Anything could happen. I don't know what's going to happen. This is it. This is the turning point. Yes, they could turn it on and go on a December run. Like I just said,
and
could totally happen.
I think they will.
And it wouldn't surprise me.
I think they will.
But it wouldn't surprise me if McCarthy continues to be keep his head up his butt as far as the offensive game plan.
I don't like your hedging, Nagler. I don't appreciate it.
It's not hedging.
It is, kind of.
No, it's like this is it. This is the turning point. And to say Mike's teams have done well in December, yeah, they have. The Packers had never lost in Lambeau in the playoffs until they did. You know, it's like, that's fine. It's all been great and hunky-dory in December in the past, but this is not the past. This is a different team. This is a singularly different team. We have no idea what's going to happen.
With two known quotients.
Aaron Rodgers.
Clay Matthews.
That's true. Clay, who hasn't had a sack in like 6 weeks.
Clay, who has been a difference maker on the defense.
That's true.
Even without a sack.
I agree.
A defense that is ascending, as much as I say that, they are ascending, and they have consistent play this season.
I agree with that.
They are unsung, and they've actually, they're literally have been the thing that is holding this team together.
That's the truth.
And it's a real thing. It's not
I
just
agree.
Like the defense is playing good. No, they're playing like, in some ways, lights out, considering where they are. Cornerback right now, considering where the defensive line is. Considering that we've been running a 3-4 for 7 years, and we still don't even know how to do that, really?
No, they do. They just occasionally have some communication issues. Clay talked about that on his locker today. But so, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. None of that would surprise me. And Robert, to answer you on the chat, yes, no, it wouldn't surprise me if they lost every game from here on out. Do I think they're going to? No.
No.
Would it surprise me? No. That's me. That's just me.
I mean, the reality
is... That's how they're playing.
Here's the reality, though. In today's NFL, they could lose every game and still go to the playoffs. Let's just be clear
about
that. It's
true. They could beat 8-8, and who knows?
Let's just be clear about that.
Who knows?
And here's the thing. New England does not look like a strong team right now. New England has the same problems right now.
Yeah, but who cares about New England?
No, I'm just saying, like... I know, but I'm just saying, like, if you look at teams, right...
Like, all of a sudden... Tom Brady's getting hit a lot, and he can't complete any passes. And oh wow, doesn't it suck, Tom? Because look, welcome to it. Says
I mean,
Aaron
the
Rodgers.
Only team right now that actually looks very consistent day in day out and looks like the team to beat is Carolina. Like,
I totally agree.
You know, Denver totally has a great defense.
Yep.
But who knows about their offense?
Osweiler's played well though.
He has, and they have a great defense. Their defense is bar none.
Lights
like,
out.
It's ridiculous.
Their secondary is absurd.
It really
absurd.
Is.
Absurd. So, yeah.
You know, even the Vikings, like, everybody was high on the Vikings for a hot second.
Yep.
And lo and behold, they're completely falling apart.
Yeah.
Which we know the Vikings.
Because they don't have a passing game. And in today's NFL, you got to have one. You know, you can't just ride Adrian Peterson.
Which the Packers are learning.
Yeah, exactly. So, here we go. Let's look, Seattle, that's true.
Seattle is coming.
They're playing well. Now, that said, let's all slow down on Seattle's all of a sudden going to make a run to the Super Bowl again.
No.
Blah, blah, blah. Because, all right. Yeah, they you know, hung in there and they put up a ton of points against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then they took advantage of Minnesota. Not, you know, they did what the Packers did. They stopped Adrian Peterson and they knew Bridgewater couldn't beat him. Pittsburgh still tore them apart, you know, in Seattle. You know, that was a really good quarterback going to town on them. They're going to face a good quarterback again in Week 17. Until then, all you're going to hear about is Seattle's back.
Yeah.
This is Seattle.
Of course.
Because they play, like, Baltimore and, I think, the Browns and, like, whatever. But they're going to get to Week 17. They're going to play Arizona in Arizona, and they're going to lose again, and they're going to be a wild card. And then we'll see what happens. But, you know, this whole, like, Seattle, this is what they
do.
It's like,
look here.
They're playing well.
You know
They're winning games they should.
I'm the ultimate homer. But
right.
I still think the road is going, the whole NFC road is mm-hmm. going to be the Packers at Carolina for the rematch. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be on the front row.
I hope you're right.
In full face paint. And when I come back from that game, okay?
Yeah.
This show
yes.
is going to start.
Yeah.
And you are going to feel my pain.
Okay. I can't wait.
I'm just saying.
Wait, why am I going to feel your pain?
Because.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be like, I told you.
MFF
whatever.
And then we're going to get ready for the Super Bowl? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, and then we're going to talk about our Super Bowl plans and all the celebrities we're going to have on Packer Transplants.
on Radio Row. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
I just don't. I mean, just pick them to lose every game, Nagler. Pick them to lose every game. Just do it.
I plan to, but can we just watch them play the Cowboys first?
Oh,
all week I've been watching people do
so
the freaking playoff simulators and the playoff seeding things and like, here's how the playoff seeding goes and blah, 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 and here's how so-and-so can finish and here's like, can they play the Cowboys? They need a miracle to beat the Lions and now everyone's talking about the playoffs. Beat the Cowboys! Beat the Cowboys!
You're so depressing.
I'm a realist, son.
You're a depressing realist.
Reality is depressing. It's true.
No,
Cowboys.
Vic will never be on this show, okay? And I will ban you from the chat if you ever say that again.
God, that's great.
Vic Ketchman will never be on the show. Even if he wanted to come on the show, he would not be invited and he would not be allowed.
I love it. So let's talk about something a little more pleasant. Let's talk about our friends at Legends of the Field.
Yes, let's. Who just gave away some amazing prizes again this weekend.
Always, ridiculous. Every weekend. How are you not on this, people? It's game day, right? And you're like, you know, I could just sit here watching the game. But, you know, you're not just sitting there watching the game. You're on your second screen, whether that's Twitter, whether that's Facebook. I hope it's not Facebook because that's horrible for live events. But you should be on the Cheesehead TV live blog, which features all the stuff you'd see on Twitter, plus great giveaways.
Yeah, plus we give away.
From Legends of the Field.
Legends of the Field. I would definitely go there. I'm actually there right now. They've got a bunch of NFL football canvas prints.
Legendsofthefield.com, people.
Yep.
Do it.
Do it. And tell them Cheesehead TV sent you.
Tell them.
Because
say, look, I was listening to these two fools.
I was listening
argue
to these
about
two
the
idiots. Their show was almost over, and they told me to go to this place.
So, come on. Let's do it. The show is almost over. I love how the first half of the show took us an hour.
Well,
that's what happens.
That's what happens. Now we're on defense.
So now we're gonna fly through the defense.
No, we're gonna take our time.
All right.
True fans will stay.
True fans will stay. Those of you with engagements that start at 10 o'clock Eastern, we'll see you.
It's not real TV. It's streaming.
Exactly. Mike Pennell playing extremely well. Absolutely earning the snaps, the increase in snaps we've seen over the last couple weeks. Played really well in Detroit. This kid, promising future, really like to see it. It's hard to do much without like kind of breaking down the tape, which we can't do because we don't have rights. But you know, and I throw in some vines every now and then, but I try to keep it to a minimum.
Speaking of, I think we missed a vine.
Oh yeah, I wanted to. That's right. You threw in the. The thing I forgot. I wanted to show Bakhtiari. This is great. This is the play, literally the first play after he left with a knee injury. He comes in and just stones Ansa. And now Ziggy Ansa's had a hell of a year. And now Bakhtiari has faced him twice. and completely shut him down. And I know David gets a bunch of grief from fans for his, you know, kind of inconsistent play. And for good reason in for some of it. Some people go over the top. But, you know, he can be frustrating. You know, he's had a bunch of penalties, and I understand all that. But I also want to point out when he plays really well, which he has now both times against Ansa. And it's funny because after the Lambeau game, when I pointed it out, everyone was like, oh, yeah, well, just wait. They're going to get in Detroit. They're going to get in the turf. Ansa's going to be, like, so fast and so quick and et cetera, et cetera. And David went and completely shut him down again. Ansa got one sack on the one play that Bakhtiari wasn't in. That tells you all you need to know. So I just wanted to point that out. I just thought he had a fantastic game again against one of the premier pass rushers in the NFL. That's all.
We like to give him love, too. If he's playing well, you got to give people love.
Got
to
do it.
You know, we're not the regular media that just gets all negative on people.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of which, I wanted to kind of point this out. Speaking of guys who are playing well who aren't getting any ink, getting no love, I haven't seen anything written about Sam Shields.
Yeah.
And about the freaking year this guy is having.
That we needed him to have.
We needed him to have it, and he has stepped up. Everyone remembers the first week. It was, oh, no. Oh, geez, Louise. What have we done? Oh, gosh. But since then, Sam Shields is playing the best football of his career.
Well, and especially and no in tackling. One's,
yeah. Well,
that's
his tackling, his physicality has been off the charts. And he's become a willing tackler. And nobody's talking about it. Like, yeah, Calvin Johnson had the touchdown, and it took a completely freak play for him to do it. And Sam still almost got it out of there at the end. But, I mean, Sam Shields is balling, and I just hope Packer fans appreciate it.
People are turning on him about the Bears game.
What about it?
They're saying he the first Bears game.
Yeah, it was the week one. Like yeah. I just said, yeah, whatever. You got to look at the whole body of work, and the whole body of work
week one
has been fantastic.
That we won,
yeah,
we won the game. We won the game, by the way, guys.
But he's been outstanding, outstanding. So I just wanted, we were just saying, these guys never get mentioned when they play well, and they don't put up a ton of stats. Had to point it out.
There's a ton of guys.
I was watching it. I was watching it today.
Mike
Daniels is playing out of his
freaking gourd. It's
ridiculous. Out of his gourd.
Mike Pennell is playing great.
I put this up now every week after when I'm watching the tape. I have a Vine series called This Week in Pay Mike Daniels. Every week, guy's a disruptor. Guy's making like completely ridiculous plays. Making penetration, making things happen. Got to pay him this week and pay Mike Daniels.
I mean, yeah. I agree with somebody on the chat when I said it last week that we still should have Tremont Williams. But I just saw Tremont Williams on the chat. I wanted to mention that.
I know, but then that goes
if we had Tremont Williams right now, would he be? It would be Sam Shields number one and Tremont number two, right?
Yeah, but I mean they would,
and maybe Tremont.
They go
slot
side
sometimes.
To side. Yeah. No. Well, maybe. He did a little slot work
last
year.
To get Demaryius time.
Get Randall some time. Yeah. But here it comes to my point here. The next one, Rollins filled in really well in Randall's absence. I mean, I think a lot of people will remember the big third down completion on him, but he almost had that one too. I mean, he played extremely well, and you look at how well Randall's played, they kind of think they can maybe hit on these guys. I mean, Randall and Rollins. I mean, they've got a lot of football left to be played, and lots of ups and downs, lots of twists and turns left to go in their career, but they're very promising players, and you got to love that. And I remember you rewind to the draft in April, and people were like, oh, do we really need, like, oh, we need an inside linebacker. We need all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, well, they deem these guys worthy of the pick, and they're living up to it, man.
Yeah. So Robert Hammond makes a good point in the chat. He says that Tremont would have impeded Rollins and Randall's
That's very possible.
Development. I do agree, especially looking at the Packers and how they don't really give guys chances.
Yes.
It
takes a lot.
It really does. You got
to
really
look how long
it
took Jake Ryan to crack the lineup. So, yeah. I hear you. And speaking of Jake Ryan, really active, lots of tackles, lots to work on. You know, it's hard to say, like, assignment-wise, because obviously we don't know the calls, we don't know the adjustments to the line, et cetera, but you just see how there are things where he attacks with his outside shoulder when it should be his inside shoulder in regards to, you know, plays breaking open, et cetera, but overall, I mean, you got to be encouraged. There's the speed and athleticism is there, and he's obviously a willing tackler. And he's been active. He's really active. Although it's really funny to hear both Clay Matthews and Mike McCarthy today talking about there's a lot to work on yet. A lot to work on. So it's clear it's very raw. And he's very, very, very active.
Jersey Al just threw a grenade into the chat.
What do you say?
In 2 years, Rollins will be better than Randall, my prediction.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's bold.
Yeah, it's possible.
I think that's bold.
It's possible.
I think I'm going to throw my script at that one.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I think that's bold there, Jersey.
All right, you ready?
You ready? Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, hit it.
Okay.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, how about that Cheesehead TV app?
I love it. I haven't seen enough people writing reviews, so if you have it on Android,
yeah.
If you have it on iOS,
yeah.
I need you to go and tell people how good it is.
Get it done, people. Spread the word. We need you to evangelicize. Is that a word?
Yeah. We need to see you preaching.
We need some love for the Cheesehead TV app.
So those of you watching the show, which I think there's none of you that are watching the show that don't know about the app, the Cheesehead TV app, and now I have here's some screenshots of it. So here's the app on iOS. So, you know, it's free, people. You got schedules.
Low price of free.
You got blogosphere. You got commenting. You can tell Nagler how much you hate his post.
No, it's the best.
You can tell him how much he doesn't know about the Packers, and it's all really easy. It's all there for you. You can watch the show live on the app on both Android and iPhone right now. So, you know, here's the thing.
Okay? Here's the thing.
Here's what's going on here. We really need you to download this. Check it out. You know, my developers, they were like, hey, you know, nobody's going to download this thing. And iOS app has over 2,000 downloads. I haven't checked Android. I meant to check it, but I was too busy today.
Yeah.
To check. I'm kind of excited. So, you know, get behind it.
Just spread the love.
Spread the word.
We know you're on it. We know you've downloaded it. Just tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your coworkers. Tell your friends and enemies. Just let everybody know. And the most important thing is, like, you don't just get Cheesehead TV content.
Yeah.
We're here for
Packer
fans.
You get all Packers content.
We're here for Packer fans who love Cheesehead TV, and we're here for fans who hate Cheesehead TV, because you can get all the Packers content, every outlet that covers the Packers. It's all there in Packer World. So you never even have to even know that Packers content in Cheesehead TV exists. You don't even have to worry about it. So just go. Tell your friends. Tell your family. And tell them if they hate Aaron Nagler, they can, you know, avoid him completely on the Cheesehead TV app. It's pretty awesome.
It's actually easy to do.
So there you go. Get your app, people, and tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your friends. Tell your wife. Tell your mother.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Hide your wife. Hide your kids. Are we done?
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connected with us on the live chat. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience, and that's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted. Hold on. I almost forgot. I need your prediction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really think we're going to beat the Cowboys really badly. So, like, 40-0.
And I'm going to pick the Cowboys just because I picked the Lions last week and then they won the Packers. So,
yeah,
I got to do it for the rest of the year.
Like,
so I'm picking the Cowboys. Although I really think there's no chance the Packers lose this game, but I'm picking the Cowboys.
I like it.
All right.
I think you should do that.
That's why we're here. We are, and I'll always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?